Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax and listen All Up Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we're going to get a little sneak peek on some new instruments that are coming out from Form Factor Audio. My very dear friend, I want to welcome back Gary Rudenko from the Amp Shop Bass Exchange. He's the one that's introduced me to Form Factor. We've had them on before on the show, and their amps are incredible. Their speaker systems are incredible. And they have a new model of bass amp for both 500-watt and 1,000-watt amp. And we're going to take a look at the 500-watt. But let me introduce everybody that's here. My good friend Doug is here helping me out. But Andre Lomov.
Yep.
He's here from Form Factor. Welcome to the show. It's good to have
you
in here. Victor Broden's going to be our demo guy, bass player extraordinaire,
yeah.
And he makes these basses sound amazing. So, and of course, Gary. So, well, let's start out. The big thing is the basses. So let's talk a little bit about the bass guitars. Who wants to?
Well, we'll start with Gary. He's been sort of leading the effort a little bit and, you know, consulting. It's under his tutelage that this is possible, so.
So tell us a little bit about these basses. Now, as I understand it, they're short scale, right?
Yeah, the basses were developed as a short scale because there was a demand recently for the short scale due to a lot of guys not young anymore. They have some kind of injury with the hand, with the, like a shoulders or like a hand wrist or another stuff. Some guys have like a short fingers, whatever. Some guys playing long shows and they cannot play heavy bass anymore, so there is a demand for that. Much easier to play and better for the overall condition. People don't feel tired after the gigs, and so that's why Form Factor picked up this idea and starting to make short scale basses. And first batch was like a classic series, like a traditional jazz bass, P bass, like a Taylor style bass with active passive features, and that's what how they were born. Pretty much they use some kind of great components, great pickups, electronics, everything in there, top scale. And overall, most important, they're using really, really high quality wood. Same as they're using for the building cabinets. You know, they're not saving money on that. They put in some kind of top notch. And as a result, you get a really good response from the basses in a short scale. It sounds like a real full scale basses.
Yeah. Now, the does Form Factor make their own pickups, or are they made for you?
No, they're made for us.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then the same thing with the bridge and the electronics?
That's funny about you touch the subject about the bridge, because Form Factor decided to make own bridge.
Ah.
That's how the bridge was born.
So this is a Form Factor?
Yes. It does not have Form Factor logo on there as well, but the next bass is coming. They have the Form Factor logo, which is already
standard. Now, this bridge that I'm showing you right now, if you took a look at some of the stuff when I was over, when I did the seminar on the bass seminar over at Lonnie Spector's amp show, we took a look at this. You had just gotten this.
I had that.
And it's a really cool bridge. I'm going to kind of stick it in front of the camera. It's got brass.
It's a bronze.
Actually. Oh, bronze. Excuse me. Bronze. Okay, well, I'll let you explain it. So what's this material?
This is Duralum. It's like a Duralite material, which is not the aluminum, but it's like a aluminum with some kind of extra in there. It's like a copper, magnesium, manganese. So makes that aluminum very durable. At the same time, it's very light.
Right. No, it's not that heavy, but it feels solid. It does. It's not like brass where it's real weighted down, so it's not going to weigh down your base too much. And then the bronze. This is really nice.
It's a real bronze. It's like a church bell bronze,
mm-hmm.
which has all of that resonance, you know, like from the church bell. So combination of Duralum and those bronze.
But it's harder than normal.
It's harder
so
than
it
normal.
Doesn't wear out. That's a problem with the bronze bridges and nuts, is they would wear out. It's a softer metal, so.
Yes.
So this is the bridge that's
which will be on the new
on
bridge,
the new basis.
On the next series. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
this one we're using so far like a traditional bridges, whatever you know, like everybody using.
Right. So these are prototypes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Basically. Yes.
Okay. So now let's talk a little bit. Well, let's go ahead and let Victor go ahead and just play this bass so people can get an idea what it sounds like. Then we'll get into what the materials and how you built it.
Yeah. So real quick, I'll let everybody know, I have master volume on full and both pickups on the same volume, and the active circuit is engaged, but there is no booster cut on any frequency.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of that, just standard finger style, and we'll do a little slap thing too. Maybe I'll just boost the lower end just a little bit. Just a tiny little bit of low-end boost, but nothing extreme at all. I mean, I barely breathed on it, so we're still basically...
Yeah, no, basically, it's got a nice tone. Do me a favor, do like some harmonics and chords just to hear what...
There's that.
So there's a lot of tone to this instrument.
Absolutely. Nice sustain. And as far as chords, to hear the string-to-string balance... Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's got a nice... Okay, now let's talk a little bit. What woods are being used? What's the body made out of?
This, they use them very light and sonically type of responding. I believe it's like a European pop albi. It's like from the high mountain wood with the maple top. And this is like a high quality North European maple with rosewood fretboard. So neck is very, very high densed. That's why when you kick in those strings in a short scale, it's almost like a piano sound. It has like a really solid response to that.
Yeah.
So okay. The wood is a very important part of the bass.
Yeah.
So what is the body is?
It's like a pop albi, I believe.
Poplar, okay.
It's not the poplar, it's some kind of European, similar to the poplar, something like that.
It's top secret, we're not telling.
Yeah. but it makes body very light.
Yeah. And what's the model name of this? What's this called?
This one is FJB4.
FJB4.
So pretty much it's like a jazz bass, but form factor version of that. We're using like a Lollar pickups for the jazz bass, and all custom electronics, I believe, on this bass, we tried like a Bartolini.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's an 18-volt preamp. It's just simple.
Yeah, two batteries.
Two batteries.
Yeah.
18-volt preamp. Oh, that's nice. So this one's both active, and it'll function as passive, too.
Yes, active-passive is a push-pull.
Right here, master volume.
Go ahead and just play something and go between active and passive. So what is it at right now?
Passive.
Okay, then try active. Oh, wow. Okay, now, Victor, let me ask you something, because you play regular scale basses all the time. How do you like using the short scale?
Well, interesting thing about this is I own a few short scales that are more traditional feeling short scales. They're hollow bodies, or, you know, the string spacing is real tight. Or this one, my fingers aren't super long, so right away I dig playing short scale. But this one, I think probably because the density of the neck wood, because I'm playing pretty softly here because we're in a civilized environment. But I'm a pretty heavy player. I'm pretty physical with my basses, and I bend a lot, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that this feels like a modern long scale bass as far as the solidity of the instrument. Because short scale a lot of times is sort of goes hand in hand with kind of older and shoddy quality, but mm-hmm. sounds amazing, you know. So this one just feels like I can beat it up, which surprisingly I really care about.
When you play it, especially when you play hard, can you feel the body? Is it real resonant all the way around?
Absolutely. And I think when I played the harmonics earlier, you could tell, and sustain too, because normally short scale basses, even with round wound strings on them, it definitely sounds.
They died fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're, you know, in a situation with speakers and cranking the amp up, this thing really pops. I mean, I have it direct, and you can hear it, but I'm trying to, it. If he really digs in, it clips the board. It's how much output's coming out of it. It's really powerful. It's got a lot of juice to it.
Yeah, it really does play like a dream. This neck really fits my hands, so.
Do me a favor and lift it up so they can see it on the camera. Take a look at this. You got to look at this wood. It's just absolutely beautiful. I'm going to take a shot of this, and then flip it over to the backside. You can take a look at this. It's
got the little logo on the neck plate there. Nice touch.
And look at that neck. It's really. Now, what do you know? What the radius is of this neck? What is this?
Basically, this bass was built like a 65 jazz bass, only shorter. To 30 inch, same radio, same everything, just shorter.
Okay.
Same 18, I think. No, this is 19 millimeter space, like a jazz bass, so very easy play it for the jazz guys. Just shorter the neck.
Mm-hmm. It's a real like bass, but just shorter.
Yeah,
right. It was two inches shorter. Yeah. That's all.
And it makes a huge difference.
So it's the same. It's the same radius of
same radius as like a classic jazz bass.
So there is a curve to it. So it does. It has that feel. Of the, it has that that 60, the early bass feel, which was
correct,
which was one of my favorite years for bass. So that's really, really, really nice. Okay, let's take a look at one of the other ones.
Am I cool to unplug?
I can mute you. Well, there you go. You're good.
It's almost like we're professional here.
That is a beautiful bass.
Thank you.
Now this is the P bass, right? Same wood or different wood?
These ones, same wood for the body. And just the maple neck, no rosewood.
Okay,
maple. Quarter sawn maple.
But it's that same type of similar to poplar with the maple top.
Yes.
So
that's one they said. Passive.
As soon as I see a P bass with a maple neck, it makes me want to play with a pick and passive. So we're going to try that first.
Okay, passive and with the pick.
This one really sings up high. Even with a pick, it doesn't get skinny. It sounds really fat.
It's pretty. Yeah, and that's passive.
Beautiful. Oh, soft pick. You want to hear that?
Yeah.
Steve. Let me keep it in passive so we...
Thank you. put it on active. It's got a lot of power.
Let me just make sure we don't have anything boosted here. No, we don't.
What? No.
No, oh, we're right in the middle. Same pick, so we can really A B it. It does a really nice scoop tone in active mode. I mean, it sounds like a fantastic slap tone right off the bat. Yeah.
It's real clear, too. It articulates really well. It doesn't get muddy. I mean, there's a lot of bottom end coming out of that right now, but you can hit the notes are true.
That's the kind of the whole form factor signal path at that point. It's like you're hearing the clarity of the amp married to the clarity of the bass. It's,
it works now, well. Before, let's divert, let's just take a little tangent for a minute, because I want to, the people that haven't, we've did another show with Form Factor, but I want to explain, I want you to go ahead and explain a little more about the bass amps, because they're very clean, very high power, and in conjunction with their speakers, if I'm correct, the speakers are like full range monitors, right?
Well, they're still bass cabs, but the way that we took the approach to it initially was to kind of model it. We have a company and a factory that builds professional PA systems. So we kind of took a lot of those same components and we basically assembled them. I mean, obviously some modifications for the woofers and the compression drivers, but the idea, the manufacturing process is very similar. And so the cabs are built really well. And I think even a few of our competitors have started using the same transducers as we do, not tweaked. We have them custom made, but similar manufacturing. And it still doesn't sound the same. And the idea, you know, is not in the woofers. It's the cabinetry itself. So we basically took a different approach. We said, okay, we're going to start using the same PA techniques, PA building techniques, put the same components in. And it allowed the bass players to actually hear what their tone sounded like, which was incredible. It adds almost zero coloration.
Right, but your speakers are more full range than a normal bass speaker.
I think they are, yeah.
No. Speakers are bass speakers.
Oh, right. He's saying like they have a compression driver in them, which is most of the time everyone else uses tweeters.
Yes.
So you have a bit more of a frequency response, but they're not a PA speaker. They are a bass speaker, but they're more to your point. They're closer to a full range than anything else, but they're still a true bass cab. And so the same kind of went with the same sort of technology went into the amp, and this is the new BI-500DI, and the DI is for direct out. So we released this several years ago, got really great feedback, but the only kind of request was a direct out, a balanced XLR, and so we added that. And the same philosophy applies. There's really very, you know, little to no coloration of any kind. You're hearing the actual bass.
Right. It's a pretty transparent sounding
amp. Yeah, exactly. That was the whole point. Because the whole point is, you know, you spend a lot of time setting up your bass a specific way, paying a lot of money in some cases for that. And then all you're hearing is the character of this one amp, you know, which is, I think, a bit unfair. So I think a lot of players, when they first plug in, they're always like, whoa, it's like, what am I hearing? You're actually hearing your bass for the first time, which is incredible. So
right. And what's interesting now is the new ones have the dual, has two direct outs, and
correct.
One's pre-EQ and one's post-EQ, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Now, I have it set up post, so you're hearing the EQ in there. It's not just, but literally at pre-EQ, you're getting straight.
Yeah, it's just a clean signal. And a lot of times, depending on your live situation, you know, it's useful to have those two features, especially if you're a guy like Victor, you never know where you're going to end up, you know, small venue, large venue, stadium. It's good to just, because if you're doing a stadium gig, you really just want to let the sound engineer decide what the bass sounds like.
It's a great traveling because it's light and it's small.
No, the thing weighs nothing.
It's pretty much, you can, yeah, it, with the direct outs, yeah, you can let the sound system do the work, but it has enough for you, so you can get one or two cap. It'll power enough if you need stage sound.
The 500 watt actually, it puts out an insane amount of sound if you for something this size and this weight, even at this power rating, because our power ratings are rather conservative. We don't exaggerate them. That is what the module bench is at, as you call it. There's a bench test you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a true 500 or a true 1,000 watts, which actually is a lot of power. But the reason people are so used to being like, oh, I need two refrigerator cabs and two, you know, SVT, whatever rigs, because they're so used to unfair ratings where people kind of exaggerate, manufacturers exaggerate a little bit what the rating is. And so you think 1,000, I don't know what that sounds like, but a form factor 1,000 watts sounds like a full 1,000 watts, and it's a lot of sound.
It's plenty of power.
It's plenty of power, yeah.
Now, do me a favor, pick this up and flip it around to the camera, and let's just go through a little bit of what's on the panel.
Gary, you want to do that so I can't see?
Okay.
No, I'll hold it and you can.
Okay. Okay, so we're right over there.
Yeah.
So you're looking at, there's a gain control.
Yeah.
And then the base, the middle, which is switchable over
exactly.
here.
Exactly. So you're picking which frequency you're affecting with
right.
that middle switch.
And I moved it a little bit to, I can't see what my frequency is, but it's at 2.0. I think it's 2,000 kilohertz, I think. And then there's treble. There's a limiter in it. And then the master control, and then there's a mute, which is very cool. And then down here, there's the different inputs. So there's an active and passive input.
Correct.
Tuner for your tuner.
Mm-hmm.
Send and return for your effects.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is this one headphones?
Yeah.
Headphone. Okay,
yeah,
it's covering the headphone.
Yeah.
So it's got all the things necessary for a studio person to, I'll go ahead and show this, might as well turn it around to the back.
Yeah.
So you have the post-EQ, pre-EQ, and then your speaker outs
exactly.
in the back.
And then the power, which is a power console.
And it locks, which is very cool.
In. It doesn't disconnect randomly.
So it's a good, it's a simple design in terms of, it's not a lot of fancy menus and stuff, but it does what it needs to do. And it's very, the controls are very...
intuitive.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. I mean, we weren't complicating anything or reinventing the wheel. And when it's muted, you could clearly see it's muted and glows, and it's a giant button. I always thought it was kind of weird on some manufacturers. They choose to do a tiny mute button, or worse yet, in the back, which is the worst thing in the world when you're doing a stressful gig and you're just jumping on stage. And you don't know why you don't have sound. It's like, no, you can see. There it is. It's the mute button.
So
it glows green.
It's
neon green.
It's nice, and it's everything's accessible. The send and receive is all in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, which is handy if you need to. I mean, it's nice to have stuff in the back, but in the front, especially with the tuner, you just can put it right there. And it's,
the idea is everything you need during a show is in the front, and everything that you deal with before you start playing is in the back. So you never have to, you know. As Poncho used to say, he's like, you never show your butt to the audience, you know, because you're diving behind, doing something
right,
just
right,
looks
right,
awkward.
Right, yeah.
So you can stay, you can look cool still and look at the audience while you're tweaking things. So
now, besides the power, what's the difference between the 500 and the 1,000?
That's it. It's the same exact
same
everything
circuit.
Else. Same exact preamp section, same exact controls. Same exact circuitry, it's just double the power, and that's it. And for a lot of guys, that's not, you know, guys and girls, it's not necessary for them to do the 1,000 watt. They like 500. They, you know, pair it up with like a single 12, and, you know, they're happy with that. It just depends on your application. But if you're playing a lot of bigger shows,
well,
like
yeah,
1,000 watts.
For most club gigs or local gigs, smaller venues, 500 is plenty for anything, pretty
exactly.
much.
Exactly. And the thing is, the weight is very similar, and I mean, you're really looking at it. It's about an inch bigger in the 1,000 watt.
Oh, it's an inch deeper.
It's an inch deeper. That's it. That's the only difference. So if you have a case for this or anything else, you know, you can pretty much use the same, you know, the same case. It's just pretty much the same footprint. It looks identical from the front. So
now,
once you're used to it, you're fine.
Explain to them the options that you have for the cabinets real quick. I know we didn't bring cabinets tonight because we can't really crank them up in here. But but explain a little bit because that's... unique to form factor.
Well, yeah, some of our stuff, I mean, we take a more conservative stance, like our 210. So we have a normal range. We have a 210, a 410, a single 15, and a single 12, correct? Am I leaving
anything
out? Okay. Yeah. And so we have, Neo, and then we have ceramics, which is standard, what we call regular. And the lightweight version of the cabinet, a normal weight. So usually you know, people pick it out based on kind of their application. But your single 12 usually pairs with a 500. You can power 210 with a 500.
210, easy. Very good combination.
It's a great combination. My favorite combo is a single 15 with a 210 on top and a 1,000 watt. That is just, everyone that hears that combination just goes nuts for it. It's one of those things where it, if you're a rock guy, you will appreciate it because it just has SPL, just plenty of headroom. And if you're a jazz or funk, whatever guy, you can kind of, you know, still get the sound you want out of it, and it's got so much lower end. I'm a big fan of our 210. It's the best-selling, I think, the best-selling cab we have. But when you combine it with that single 15, it's pretty incredible.
Gives you the low end, yeah.
Yeah, and again, our cabs are they're made like PA speakers, so you can toss them around. They're very durable. They're really rigid, specifically made to let the transducer operate in its optimal range, which gives it the sound that people love. But you can beat the crap out of them. I mean, they survive tour after tour after tour, much like PA gear is meant to.
Well, a lot of guys, when they use multiple speakers, they'll bi-amp. Is when you're using the two, is there a way to bi-amp, or you don't need to?
You don't have to, because if you have two 8-ohm cabinets, you connect them, you have 4-ohm. This thing does not go down to 2-ohm, neither does the 1000. It's just not happy at that low of a ohmage overload. So basically, you can, there have been situations where people have played two rigs, and so they don't bi-amp, they just basically use another rig, and they just daisy chain it. And that's it. So you don't necessarily need to, but that's, I don't know how many times it's ever happened. I think maybe once or twice.
So there's, you using the two speakers, using a 210 and a 15, right? Because they are more full range than normal bass speakers. There's no problem with them interacting, right?
No, actually, they work together perfectly. They even have little cutouts on top where the 210 fits on top of the 15 beautifully. And it's very stable rig, even at lightweight. So yeah, no, they work beautifully together.
Trick with those amps are like that, because this amp has real true power. So you can easily use this cabinet with single 8-ohm, any cabinet configuration. And what you do, you just put in this amp in a safe mode, so it's not sort of kind of overloaded the cabinet, but the minute you added another cabinet, you get an all full range, 500 or 1,000, which those cabinets designed for to keep. So yeah, no matter what it is, you're always in the safe range, or you're getting full blast from that with the combination. Right. So they're not really farting at the low, underpowered range like most of manufacturers who are doing them a little bit on a lower scale. So that if people, let's say, buying any different brand, similar 500 watt, and they use an 8-ohm cabinet, they're literally getting like 180, 200 watt only.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which this amp at 8-ohm instead of 500 will produce about 375, which is still plenty of power for any single cabinet.
Yeah,
exactly.
Now, is there a difference in the sound between the Neomag and the ceramic?
There's about maybe this thick of a book that people can write on those differences. I don't know if we necessarily could do. I mean, we only have about 40 minutes left, so I'm not sure if we could talk about that.
Well, but, I mean, in a nutshell, because that's going to be something that a bassist can be concerned about.
Of course.
What's the difference? I mean, it's very, very
more modern tone versus more classic tone, I guess, is what you're looking for. More dry versus, you know, I don't know. How would you describe it, Gary?
I can describe like that. The cabinet build so nice and correct, so basically people don't hear the difference. It's only the difference is, let's say, if you need more extra bass on the Neo, you can turn like that, only one point up to get the same bass like a ceramic. But considering the fact that you have 15 pounds less, like from our experience.
So you can get it, with adjusting, you can match the same sound.
You can match the same sound.
Yeah.
But what I noticed, Neo a little bit more punchy. And people who really, really already set the mind for the ceramic, and they want a ceramic, after 2 weeks, they're coming back and tell them, can I trade it back for Neo?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the minute they got the Neo, we didn't see them anymore. They're happy with it because weight is a very, very important part.
Right.
Of
no, I've seen in other companies, like, for example, Celestians for their guitar amps, they make a Neomag cream back.
Yes.
And it's pretty close. I mean, yeah. I was impressed.
Yeah. But you need to build the right cabinet regardless.
Right, right. But you I agree with you. With the Neomag, you got to punch it a little more mm-hmm. to get it to speed.
Yeah, I think with guitar cabinets, honestly, you're not to downplay it, but you're looking just, you're building an infinite baffle, really. You're not, there's, mm-hmm. the cabinetry matters, but with bass, the cabinetry really matters mm-hmm. because you're effectively trapping the transducer in there and it is resonating at the frequency of the cab. It's not, you can't just put, you can put a guitar cab into a wall. It will not sound that much different than an amplifier. I mean, there'll be yeah. some difference, but it's not like you're not going to be able to be shocked. You put a bass, you know, transducer into an infinite baffle, you're not going to get much out of it. It needs a happy home to live in. So that's where the difference is. And the cabinetry, again, as Gary said, it makes such a huge difference that when it's all said and done, there are nuanced differences between Neo and ceramic, but at the end of the day,
now your cabinets in any of the speaker configurations, they're ported, right?
Correct.
Yeah, to get the low end, to get the waveform.
So. But they port it right, because port is very important.
Oh yeah,
you cannot just put there the pipe and expect you build the port.
Well, I've heard the 210 cabinet; yes. It's deep.
Yeah,
which is saying something because tens are tens.
Tens are tens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I keep trying to explain to everyone like where you know they're like, well, do you have the refrigerator cab, like 810? And I'm like, we don't need to build an 810. Because if you look at the SBL, it's coming out of whatever 810 you have, it's going to be very similar to a lot of other configurations of ours. We have a 410, but it's actually quite tall, and it's meant to have a similar stage presence, well, closer to an 810. But Vic, you've played our Neos and our ceramics. Which one do you have?
Ceramics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And brings it back to what Gary said about the Neos being a little punchier, because mm-hmm. I do play a lot of pick bass. Even if I'm not playing heavy metal, I enjoy pick when playing funk and pop too.
Yeah.
And I like a little bit of mid scoop. If it's too aggressive in the mids, so I prefer ceramic. But I agree with what the gentleman said that the difference is tiny. But and I'm also very much like, if I fall in love with something, like the first time I played Form Factor and got excited, my eyes got big, it was ceramic. I'm like, well, I can't mess with that.
Right, right.
You know, I just want to recreate that feeling.
Right. Once you get it, you don't mess with it.
Right.
But you're using, what do you use? Use tens or use
tens? Tens. I'm a huge ten. A lot of guys that play with a pick are into 12s, but there's a honkiness in 12s that just isn't my tone. And you get more low out of well-built 10-inch cabinets, even a 210, than a lot of 15 and 12-inch cabinets. I think the interesting thing, for example, is Billy Sheehan uses a different brand cabinet, but to the point, he's 15-inch, he's 10s for his lows.
Yeah. Really?
Because the lows are quicker. And
right.
I love that.
Let me ask you then, the difference in terms of the 15, mm-hmm. and I know this is a big difference. We're dealing with physics here in the mm-hmm. 210 cabinet. What's the frequency response? Does the 15 go way below, or can you get
it's
the frequency
close.
Response? Can you get the frequency response out of a 10? That's what I never
understood.
No,
it's not quite physically possible, but it is. It's close. Again,
32 hertz.
Yeah, it's like it's almost. It depends. Like when I feel the difference when I plug in when I'm doing a demo or something, and I plug in the 15. So we've done this A to B before, 210 on top of a 210, and we're actually using a slightly modified version of our 10s now. We've started using newer ones that go a little mm-hmm. bit deeper. And again, I can't reveal too much information. We're still working things out. But the point is, even with the new deeper 210s, two of them sound a little bit different. But again, it's not so much just frequency response. It's the characteristic. It's what you're feeling. It's a lot of the stuff is not physics. It's really just psychoacoustics. You know what I'm saying? So you see something, you feel it, you use it, and you have some sort of relationship with it. And it just gets you the right way, and as long as you get your sound of it, that's the most important thing. I think a lot of people shop on you know, on a cut sheet, so to speak, and they go, well, that goes to this, therefore it's better than this. But there's a certain something about that particular thing, because it's made out of wood, it's made out of organic material, that just gets you in a different way. It's the same thing with these basses. There's a lot of like you could use the same components in a different configuration and they'll just be completely different.
Well, I noticed like with studio monitors, like a 10-inch two- or three-way studio monitor as opposed to a 12-inch two- or three-way studio monitor is about an octave lower from that physically. Right. Now, the way the monitor is set up and stuff is different than what you're... It's not ported. but it was like an infinite baffle type of thing where it was sealed.
Mm-hmm.
But it did make a difference. The difference in the size, because you're physically, it's a bigger speaker with a, it can handle a longer waveform.
Right, of course. No, and you have that, but again, it's more than just what's in the frequency response. It's just how it actually plays.
Right.
And that's the most important thing.
And then the other thing, too, when you're playing, you're using 10s. I would think the 10s work better when you're playing and they mic the kick drum so you stay out of the way of the kick drum, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've always thought of that, too. But obviously, 10s, it's a matter of how many and what type of box they're in.
Yeah. Right,
because
right.
I feel like 10s do so many things, while 15s and 12s do their thing. But 10s can do many things. That's
right.
How I feel.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a flexibility. That's why the 210 is just the best. That's the one that everybody gets because they essentially start with that and they build out from there. But you could do any, like, again, if you're a player like Victor, you're playing 18 different styles on any one given week.
Right, right.
You could have two different gigs in one day that are vastly different. You're not going to, you know, okay, here's my reggae rig and here's my, you know,
Well, how much? What's the power capability of the 210?
It's like 600 watts.
So you, with a 500 watt amp in that, you got plenty
for
most gigs.
Yeah.
The 210 is small enough, but it gives you what you need, and then you can always add more if you need more. So, I mean, you probably just use a 210 most of the time.
One 210 because it gets really loud.
Really does.
I mean, the only reason I would use more speakers is if I'm in a band with guitar players with close back 412s and they don't know how to EQ their amp and there's too much woof coming off their palm.
Right, right, right. Or if you needed to put a cabin on the other side of the stage.
Yeah, but as far as any normal, I mean, my 410s collect dust, not because they're not amazing, it's just like I don't need them.
Right, and your back thanks you for it.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
It does weigh a lot.
I don't want to switch topics, but I have a quick question about the onboard preamp.
Okay. Yes.
Do you know the center frequencies of the three-band EQ? Like the center frequency, like what frequency is the boost cut centered at?
It's a boost cut.
Yeah, but like, for example, the
around low, what frequency?
Yeah, is it at 40 hertz?
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We can find it out.
I would love to find that out.
We can find it out. Yeah,
mostly because it sounds great.
We can ask. We can ask Tina. She knows for sure.
Yeah, yeah, good.
She did. Yeah, and this will be up on the Facebook Live. Will be posted if you get a chance. Put it up there so they can tell.
Yeah, yeah, we'll put it in the
frequencies. Yeah, that's some stuff that's interesting because it makes a difference.
It, to me, who I don't play active a lot, but when I do play active, I find that a lot of active preamps, to me, they've chosen the wrong frequency, and it's very, very rare even on their own websites that they list the frequencies that they have pre-chosen for us to boost and cut.
Right, right. Well, let's take a look at the third bass. Let's pull that up.
All right, I'm unplugging here again.
Oh, here, let me mute you.
I got you.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
I'm double muted.
But it's interesting that, and we had show, take a look at our earlier show. I think it was passive. From 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, passive. Okay, he's putting it in there.
Yeah.
Let me know when he's plugged in and I'll put it back
plugged
on.
Plugged in, unmuted.
Okay, so but if you take a look at the earlier show that we had, you can hear the cabinet. And I A-B'd the cabinet with the direct and it was pretty transparent. It was pretty amazing. So, okay, now tell us about this bass. Same woods or different woods?
Same, I believe body is alder.
Alder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the same North European maple for the neck, water sawn neck. This bass very interesting. It's very character one. A lot of people been asking bass class, you know, and people give us the idea about, I want to have Telecaster bass. Mm-hmm. But I want to have like a Steinhaus or whatever. I want something different. Mm-hmm. And some customer came in there with sort of kind of idea to put two pickups on that bass. That's how we come with that one. So we can put two pickups, one like a traditional, like a 51.
Well, and let me ask you something in terms of design, just how you came about. Because that pickup's in the middle as opposed to up by the, was there, did you find that was the sweet spot for that pickup?
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
each
yeah.
pickup should be in a certain frequency, whereas those harmonics breaks
right.
to put on the right spot. Pickups built by Howard Alliate.
Oh, okay. Howard's a good good pickups.
Who was very, very excited about this idea, and he told me, guys, I make you special pickups. I know what you need, okay? Yeah. He was really about it. So we put these pickups, like you have like a Telecaster, and another one, sort of like a Telecaster place, but it's like a jazz bass flavor. And as you see, it has the dual coils in there, dual poles, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Dual poles for the pickup. And you see dual poles for this. So your string always in magnetic field between them, almost like a jazz bass.
Yeah.
Even if it's a Telecaster. Did you see that? Because Telecaster has single poles.
Hold
this one dual.
Hold the guitar up so we can see it on camera. Also, too, that's a weird
angle
bridge,
and
too.
And it's an angled, yes.
What's with the bridge? That's a
the angle gives you more like a focused lows here and more extra bottom into the high string.
Right.
So way more balanced.
Yeah.
Now, Gary, what about that bridge? That's an unusual
that
bridge.
That bridge, it's a custom-made bridge for the Telecaster, but instead of two saddles, we're using four, so you can do the perfect intonation, which Telecaster impossible to intonate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Due to the whatever configuration. Plus, it's a string through the body.
You can hold that right there. I want to get a close-up of that. Oh, that bridge is just amazing. Let me get that. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, you have two separate, it's totally adjustable.
Yes, all total adjustable, and you see they're all different.
Okay.
For the nature of the bass.
This is passive.
This is passive.
Okay,
this is
so passive. Let's take a listen to, there's no switch, you just...
No, you just...
Volume for whatever. So go ahead and play the middle
right
pickup. Yeah.
Just the front pickup, because I think people are...
That's pretty deep.
Roll off.
Yeah.
The tone is roll off, and this is.
Even in these headphones, it still sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's clipping. I had to bring it down. It's so hot.
Now we're adding the bridge pickup to the same sound.
Give us just the bridge pickup. I mean, yeah, the bridge pickup right now. I just want to hear what it sounds like.
Bridge pickup.
It looks like it's a pretty heavy wound from where I'm sitting.
Right.
That's pretty punchy and low end on it, too.
You can slap on that. You can do the Jaco type if you know.
Victor, try it with a pick. I'm curious how if it growls with that.
So I never really play pick with only the bridge pickup. It might work because this has a lot of low end. So this is my really bright pick.
Okay.
It actually sounds pretty big. So let's try it with a more low-endy.
And that's just the bridge pickup. Right?
Just the bridge.
That bridge pickup is pretty... It's got a lot of low-end to it. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
But and it's basically a humbucker with the dual.
Yeah. This is the juice of that. Try with the pick.
Yeah, this is... I'll use your pick. Yeah. It's pick funk. But almost all my basses, both fingerstyle and pick style, I'm a guy, play passive, and I love sort of full volume on the front, and then the back.
A little.
If you start with just the P bass tone, like this, classic. We'll stick with that Fleetwood Mac riff. And then instead of going all the way, just going kind of like 7 out of 10. Still sounds like a neck pickup, but it sounds a little angrier.
So right, it gets that growl to it.
Yeah, you don't hear this pickup, but you feel it.
You feel it, yeah.
And that's kind of my favorite. And that's how you get all those great old 80s metal, like Guns N' Roses, and you know, like you get that.
Now, with this pickup configuration, Victor, is this good for popping and snapping?
Absolutely. This bass already, to me, has a perfect... It's not at all dead in the mid-range, but it's got a nice scoop to it, which a lot of P basses are very honky in the mid.
Right.
That's very...
It's popping. I mean, it's spiking that.
Yeah.
No, that's really,
it's
really
a good sounding bass.
Yeah, this. I mean, I've been a fan of all of these. I'm having fun, but this I could take to my gig in an hour and a half down in Hollywood and play like this. You know.
Yeah,
that's the funny thing. He's never seen these before.
Yeah, no.
So it's like it's a double blind.
Yeah, no.
Like double blind test.
It's that new. I mean, I went on the website the other night, and there's nothing yet.
This no, we don't not have been any, this is we've been pretty much. This has been like a Skunkworks project for ours.
Yeah.
That Gary's like, I'm gonna do this thing, and we're like, okay, go, and like we'll just see what happens, and then obviously, as you can tell, really nice.
Now,
things.
Victor, looking after playing all three of them, would this be your go-to gig one if you were? Well, is this the most versatile for you, or is it?
Well, I do love these pickups. I gotta say, so
yeah, looks, Howard's pickups are great.
Yeah, looks wise, that jazz bass is very, very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's triple X sexy, that mm-hmm. one. But sound wise, this is most kind of close to what I normally do.
Now, can you get these basses with the Oliate pickups in them? Is that an option?
Yes.
Because we've had him on before, and his pickups are amazing.
They're all like a first trial, so we did not know how is it happening, what's right. happening. We just put the ideas and our experience of mm-hmm. what we've been dealing with, the pickups, preamps, whatever, for forever, mm-hmm. and we decided to put, so this one should be right for this bass, this one should be right for that bass.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, but hard to tell until actual players starting to play. So far, whoever tried them, everybody loves them. So it was like the right combination.
Yeah.
No, they sound good. And
plus,
they're
cool
well-made.
About all of those basses, especially passive one, we're using the real NOS potentiometers from 70s. It's a real CTS from 70s, and we're using like a military oil and paper caps for the tone. So when you roll it out, you feel that velvety, yeah. really nice, deep type of...
Yeah, there's like nothing worse than a roll-off that takes off the high end but doesn't add that pillow.
Yes.
That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
See?
Roll off all the tone and do only front pickup. Maybe we'll add just a little bit of low end on the amp too mm-hmm. to see how reggae we can mm-hmm. get. That's very nice. And it doesn't, sometimes when you roll off all the tone, you lose all of the mid-range push too, but this one.
It's poppy. I mean, it really has a dynamic. And I have a little bit of limiting because it's tweaking the
yeah.
input,
yeah.
so I had to limit it a little bit,
right.
and it's still punchy.
Yeah, it's. I always listen when I buy a bass. I don't plug it in for almost 20 minutes if I like one in the store because I like for it to feel like a kick drum. If I'm sitting with a bass against my ribs, if I do this, if I mute the strings, you know, Tower of Power style, like that, I want it to feel like a kick drum, and I don't want to have to EQ. That kick drum.
Right.
It should just be there. And my theory is a lot of that comes from a really tight neck body joint.
Right.
Yeah.
It, you know.
Now, is this set up so it does, I know a lot of the Fenders, the neck would move a lot with the four bolt. Even with the four bolt, is that pretty stable? Are you noticing?
I was pulling on this before I played it.
Okay, so you're not moving it.
I don't know if anyone saw good. That earlier. But.
Yeah, it's not going.
Now, Victor, do me one other thing, because you play pretty aggressively, but just walk it a little bit so they get kind of a jazzy feel to it. So it gets that tone, too. And that's, I mean, that the bass is versatile. It gets...
Yeah. That's the whole point of... I think we kind of, again, through a lot of experimentation and happy accidents, just kind of landed on, again, very versatile, transparent, very versatile and transparent. The whole signal path becomes just... You can play anything you want. You could literally do your, you know, your reggae gig in the, you know, on a Sunday brunch and then go Sunday night and do your rock gig.
Now,
you're good to go.
I told you this would go by fast. We're already out of time.
When
are these coming out? When are they available?
Well, these are available now at Gary's, exclusively at Gary's. And they'll might be online as well, but we're keeping it, again, Skunkworks. It's very limited edition.
So you have more than this, these three. So you
yeah.
have plenty in stock.
There's in stock, but they're compared to normal manufacturing run, they're very limited. So with it being Christmas time, get down. to Gary's and buy one of these. But also, you know, and then maybe we'll have Victor sign one of these before he leaves. But the point is that, yeah, so there's still an experimentation stage. And then I think we'll kind of have a wrap-up meeting at the end to see what works and what doesn't. And then certain things will go into wider production.
That's right.
So, but right now it's still just, again, it's like a very custom shop, very skunk works.
So everybody keep... check out www.baseexchange.com. That's where the Amp Shop Base Exchange is.
Yes.
And you'll see deals and you'll see these advertised there. And then there's also www.formfactoraudio.com. The mm-hmm. bases are not up there right now, but you can check out the amps and the cabs are all on there. And it's pretty, if you get a chance, go to Gary's and you got to hear this amp with the cab so you get an idea of what it really can do.
Yeah,
it's hard to do that just on the show. I'm playing it. I have it plugged in direct, but when you hear the cabinet speak, and especially somebody like Victor, that's a real aggressive player. You can hear it just like hit you in the chest when you have a good couple of speakers in there. You can hear the difference.
Exactly.
So, and so I want to thank you guys for coming on the show, Andre and Gary, of course. Victor, what's going on with you? Give people an idea where they can see you play.
Well, I'm in and around the Los Angeles area a lot. I just got done with a tour with the 80s rock metal band Dokken. So, but I have a few interesting things online. I have a podcast where I interview some of the biggest bass players on earth. Players that play for Prince, Pink, the biggest tours in the world. It's called the Lowdown Society. Nice. And it's like the Dead Poets Society, but for bass players.
And so, where is that? Where is it?
It's on anywhere you find podcasts, but the homepage for it is on Podbean, but you can get it through Apple Podcast or Google Play Podcasts.
Okay.
I'm also the main reviewer for Premier Guitar Magazine, so I nerd out on gear, and you can read Premier Guitar and read my gear reviews. And
I have.
That's sort of
what I'm doing. I have. I read Premier.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And anything else? Anything else coming up that you want to mention?
He's got a gig tonight.
Yeah, I'm just jamming with some fellow Hollywood rockers down at the Viper Room, and tomorrow night I'll be at the Whiskey a Go-Go, so all my 80s rock fantasies are coming true.
There you go.
Mondays and Tuesday
nights.
I'm
definitely going tonight. A
couple of new things. First of all, I want to add something. So Form Factor expanded the bridge type of deal, and they offer it not only bridges for the Form Factor basses, but they're doing direct replacement for the P-Bass, Jazz Bass, Music Man, and Sire as well.
Ah, okay.
So everybody who want to upgrade the bridge and put something, new flavor, whatever, those bridges will be available soon.
Yeah.
Plus, they make a new line of basses as well. It's like some kind of secret, which is sort of kind of what we're saying. It'll be the Wombat series with really nice, sexy body and a lot of features and different type of pickups, which already proven to be. So
will these be full scale or short scale?
That'll be also full scale.
Ah, so yes. Coming out with a whole new full scale.
Correct. Those. Yes.
Well, when those come out, you got to bring them down. We got to check those out for sure.
Victor, clear your schedule.
So
I'll noodle any day for you guys.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, everybody. Thank you so much. And we will keep us posted on what you're doing. And Gary, it's always great. Gary will be back here next week. I'll post a little more what's going on with that because he's got a lot of new things happening. I'm still looking for that Amperor pedal. Gary, you promised
me
you'll
bring it next week.
You'll bring it next week. Yes. Okay. But anyway, thank you guys. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
And everybody have a great week. We'll see you. Doug, thanks for helping out.
Oh, sure.
All right, everybody. Have a great week.